When she's there, she said, "Oh, I don't," you know, she kind of reacts like, "Oh, please talk to my people."
Ghani had a campaign launch scheduled for the evening of March 24th. The group, Vote for Palestine, after over a year of attempts to meet with Ghani, announced that morning they would be protesting at the launch event. Later in the day, the event was canceled with no explanation from the Ghani campaign. Vote for Palestine in NDG is taking credit for the cancellation.
Now she's canceling events if we try to protest, which is ironic because it's giving way more visibility than if she had just actually met and tried to listen to the very basic requests that we want to make.
Vote for Palestine's main goal is getting the issue of Palestinian human rights on the agenda during this election campaign. The Israeli Defense Force announced recently they plan on going forward with the Trump administration's proposal to forcibly remove all Palestinians from Gaza. Israel's action in Gaza and the West Bank have been condemned by a myriad of human rights groups, including Amnesty International, who have declared the country's military campaign a genocide. Vote for Palestine wants to see candidates in this election promise to fight for a stronger two-way arms embargo and sanctions against Israel in Canada's parliament.
You know, just basically human rights activists. There's a strong queer contingent, there's a strong Jewish contingent. We work with independent Jewish voices, we work with Jewish Voices for Peace, we work with Montréal Nord for Palestine, anyway, whatever. Like I can say, the cloud of people that are trying to activate the Vote for Palestine campaign really just want to put that issue on people's minds within the top 20 issues that will be raised in this election. And visibility is our key. So we will be protesting whoever is taking an anti-Palestinian position, and we will be trying to meet and convince people that are convincible. So we thought Anna Ghani was convincible, and we're more and more now convinced that she is not. So those are the elements where we want to push forward, and we want to make people aware that the politicians that they're voting for may just be pro-genocide.
The movement is focused on meetings with MPs and MP candidates across Canada, regardless of party affiliation. Multiple candidates in this election have met with members of the group and embraced their agenda. Currently, 23 Liberal candidates across Canada have signed a Vote for Palestine pledge to make Palestinian human rights an issue in this election. Here in NDG, the NDP candidate, Malcolm Lewis Richman, has been receptive to the group and also signed this pledge. Anna Ghani did not attend an interview with CJLO after one had been scheduled, with no follow-up. CJLO has been attempting to interview Ghani since before her campaign for re-election was announced. She has made no public statements on record regarding the Vote for Palestine movement. For the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Adam Innes. We'll be right back.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Voice of the Voiceless. This is Mariam with you guys on CGLO 1690 AM. I'm here with Judy. And I'm here with May. Hi, May.
Hi, everyone.
Today, we have a really special topic for you guys. And we have a special guest. So, May, would you like to present her?
Of course. Today, we're honored to introduce our dearest friend, Rasha. Rasha is a prideful Algerian who embarked on a journey of self-discovery and came here to Montreal as an international student. She's only been a hardworking, inspirational, and strong woman, a remarkable representation of Algerian women living abroad. Hi, Rasha.
Hello.
Hey, Rasha. How are you?
Hey, I am really happy to be with you guys here. I don't know what I should say, but
How are you feeling right now? Tell me in three words how you're feeling.
First of all, I'm grateful, happy, and blessed, and yeah, be here in this show and this podcast, and to be at Concordia, to be in Canada, in Montreal.
great. So May mentioned that you're originally Algerian, right? So you moved from Algeria 2 years ago, is that correct?
That's right. Yeah. I came in March 18th, 2023.
Yeah.
And yeah. I came here to study. I applied here in Concordia some programs.
Mm-hmm.
I did major in journalism, minor in linguistics, and yeah. You can ask me whatever you want.
Yes, and I want to ask you about, like, let's start from the beginning. So you were in Algeria, right? So how old were you?
I am 23.
No, how old were you in Algeria?
When
you started thinking about going to Canada. Yeah.
When I was in my last year in university, mm-hmm. in Algeria.
Mm-hmm.
I was 20 at mm-hmm. that time.
Okay. Okay, and when you were in Algeria, I guess you finished your bachelor degree already because you were 20 and things like that. Why did you decide to continue your graduate study, undergrad studies outside of Algeria? Because you already had your undergrad in Algeria, right? You were maybe you were about to work, you were about to have other experiences. So what made you decide to come here after your undergrad in Algeria?
Okay, so. In Algeria, the system or the educational system is very mm-hmm. different.
Mm-hmm.
And even most of the programs that we had, they're all taught in Arabic or French,
mm-hmm.
which was our second language. But right now, English became second language.
Mm-hmm.
And most of our generation, the new generation in Algeria, is English spoken.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was interested to study a new program in English,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to boost my skills in English speaking,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I chose to come to Canada and chose to study this in this program.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you chose, maybe tell me if I'm wrong, but you chose Quebec because it's also French speaking. So maybe you thought it would be easier for you maybe to integrate. What do you think? Did you think about that? About the French culture here in Quebec?
Well, most of the people think that it's because of French,
mm-hmm.
But it's not actually. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Okay.
Whenever I tell mm-hmm. them, I chose Montreal, they think that it's maybe because you speak French as well. That's why you came here. But it was never the case.
Mm-hmm.
When I did my research in general about programs and universities and everything, actually I wanted to go to England.
Okay.
First, yeah, and then I chose another destination, and it was the ideal destination for me was Montreal.
Yeah,
and specifically at Concordia, I saw a lot of interesting programs, mm-hmm. especially in journalism.
Yeah,
First of all, I applied linguistics actually, but I changed to journalism,
mm-hmm.
and this is how I. How I was maybe interested in at Concordia.
Did you study journalism in Algeria too?
No.
Okay.
I actually applied English literature.
Mm-hmm.
That was my main major. Mm-hmm. Or you can say it's license. I told you it was a different system.
Yeah.
And after that, what was your question? Sorry.
Yeah, I just I was mentioning like the process of like you moving from Algeria to Canada, but specifically I wanted to like ask you more about like the differences between studying in Algeria and studying here, since you moved since you completed your undergrad in Montreal and you also did in Algeria. Did you find any differences in terms of like the system, the school system, the teachers, the students, how they the amount of work you've given, the like these maybe specific things? Yeah.
Okay. When I was studying in Algeria, I wasn't really good in English.
Mm-hmm.
You can say that I improved my English when I was in university.
Okay.
And especially when I did English literature. And from there, I started to think of going abroad and studying somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw, like, I noticed the difference when I came here. Of course, I knew before that Montreal has really good educational system. They're very organized, the way of their studies, and the universities here are really common.
Mm-hmm.
However, in Algeria, the system is maybe different. I don't know, like I found actually a lot of difficulties when I came here.
Okay.
However, I adopted. I got used to everything here.
Yeah. Okay. Great. I'm happy that you like it here.
Thank you.
Also, like personally, I want to tell you, Rasha, because I've known you for like a long time right now. When I figured out that you came here from Algeria on your own. You didn't come with your family. You don't really have family here. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah. So you came all alone from Algeria. That was really inspirational. Like when I heard that, because it's like it's hard. It's not easy to like go from one country to another. How did you what difficulties did you face in traveling on your own like that? Did you find any obstacles? Was something like difficult for you? Things like that.
In terms of difficulties,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't difficult to prepare to come to Montreal or going abroad. It's never preparation. It was very easy. Maybe yes, I passed a lot of tests. I passed IELTS tests at first. Can you hear me?
Yes, okay, perfect.
So I passed the IELTS test, which is really common exam. It's an English exam,
mm-hmm.
where you. When you have it, you can go and study abroad, or you can even work with it. So it's kind of a certificate of having an English profession.
Okay.
And so that was mostly like the most preparation was for like exams, English exams, and
mm-hmm.
Maybe papers, like my study this for our studies. That was it, like
mm-hmm.
immigration, maybe papers.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to take the visa, prepared for like my tickets, maybe the most difficult part was finding a house here.
Okay.
You know, with the house crisis here,
it's yeah.
really, it was really tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, glad that you found it easy, I guess, from what you said. I have one more question. Actually, we're going to take a break and then we'll be back with further questions with Rasha. Enjoy.
On Friday, April 4th, join us at Maison Montreal for a show celebrating our brand new folk music programming month, New Roots. With sets by local artists Girl With Dream, Hanako, and Holly McLaughlin, you won't want to miss this night of intimate singer-songwriter performances. Tickets are on sale now. For more information, check out CJLO on Instagram at CJLOMTL and at CJLO.com.
Tune in to More Radio for some amazing jams from the worlds of Latin American rhythmic music, Saturdays at 5 p.m. only on CJLO. Muppet Mode with Mr. B.
Hello everyone, welcome back. You were just listening to Hayati by Amel Zen. Actually, all the songs that we have today is chosen by Rasha. She's the one who mentioned all the songs that are here. Why did you choose this song? If you remember.
This song specifically, it's for one of my favorite artists. Mm-hmm. She's Algerian from Algiers, the capital, and I really loved her music. Mm. And she's one of the women that inspired me. She's really strong, and as a person, she's really powerful. I loved her music always.
it's a really nice song that represents like life. You know, like I really really like it. You did mention your experience and you changing countries and all of that, but how did you feel in terms of like just living alone and not having your family here or like people that you love, and you had to leave them back home. Mm-hmm. But now like coming here and like all of that, how do you feel about that?
I always felt stressed before I came here. I always thought that I might lose my friends, the contacts of my beloved ones, especially my parents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always close to my parents, especially my father, which I really appreciate everything he did to me. And he gave me a lot of supported me, and mm-hmm. he encouraged me to do all of this.
Okay,
it's really hard. That's right. I always thought it's kind of a joke when people appear in in podcast or like in videos, and they say like or they talk about their experience. They're like, oh, it's really tough. Here in Canada, it's really depressing. It's not ours.
And then you come here and you're like, oh, maybe they have some.
First year it was really exciting, maybe because I was discovering the country and the city. Mm. Especially Montreal is really, it's kind of a multicultural place. Yeah. And you find a lot of people to learn from them and to talk to them. So I wasn't bored at all. However, the thing that I really felt that there is a lack in it, it was maybe my parents. The connection that I had before, I did not have it anymore.
Because they're not with you every day. It's exactly. Different. Like, you don't see them every time you go home. You're like, okay, you used to see them every day, but now you're like, okay, at first, as you said, it was exciting. Like, it was you discovering new things, you knowing a lot of learning about new things and new cultures, but it's also hard because you're not used to this lifestyle.
I found myself that I'm really responsible, completely responsible. Before, all what I had to do is getting support from my parents at any small or big things. Any decision that I had to make, I had to ask my parents for it. But right now, I'm just dependent on myself. Most of the time, I find it's kind of a big switch.
Yeah.
But right now, yeah.
I had that question, like, because one of the topics we wanted to talk about is like living independently, like as a woman, as an Arab woman coming from Algeria and coming here. How was the experience? Like, we already talked about the experience, like, but did it change your perspective on life in terms of like having, after living on your own, did it change anything in terms of your perspectives or?
Good question.
Mm-hmm.
It changed in some. Maybe, I don't know, in some parts, in Algeria, we did not have, maybe, there are a lot of things to talk about, I don't know where to start from.
wherever you find the most interesting, start.
Like, as a woman, it's difficult to go outside, for example, in Algeria, and you go at night, walking peacefully, you can go and it's really secure. There's no problem at all. It's a really peaceful country. However, when you go outside, you have to be with a person at least, so nobody can bother you. Mm-hmm. However, here in Montreal, there was a day that I literally arrived at home at 3 a.m., but nothing happened. Mm-hmm. Or if you hear Arab people talking about this subject, they would be a bit annoyed. I don't know. But here, I literally feel like I'm safe.
Mm-hmm.
As a woman, yes, I'm really safe. And I am responsible of myself. Nobody's taking care of me, but I'm the one who's responsible of everything. Whether financially.
Go ahead.
I
also have a question in terms of you being an Arab woman. I know sometimes, maybe some women, if Arab or non-Arab, they don't feel fulfilled in their life. They think that they're missing something. Do you feel fulfilled so far in your journey here in Canada? Do you feel like you've accomplished enough? And if not, do you feel like you want to accomplish more?
For sure. Mm-hmm. I came here to Canada for a reason, which is I want to get my degree. I want to have my own... I want to work and get a job. I want to improve my English skills, my English speaking skills. Not only this, but I want to learn, but also I want to learn French better than what I have right now. Of course, I speak French, but I really want to improve and learn the Quebecois French.
Quebecois French, yes.
I want to get more opportunities, having big opportunities and working in... maybe huge companies like CBC, CTV, whatever.
Yeah, I think Canada allows you to, like, you know, grasp these opportunities. Like, even if, you know, you can come from anywhere, if you work hard, you can, like, really, really reach those dreams that you have mm-hmm. in Canada, which I really like about, like, Canada. And I yeah. think, like, a lot of immigrants come here because they believe in that. They believe that they're gonna succeed in what they do because they believe that Canada offers these opportunities to people only if you put that effort and you really spend time on achieving those.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree, mm-hmm. actually. And it's also in terms of, like, young people, they actually inspire them and they teach them young, oh, like, you should have a job, you should go pursue your dreams, start young because you'll have experience. And they encourage the young people here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's the same thing in Algeria. Maybe it's different. I'm not sure, but you can...
Maybe in Algeria, yeah. Well, it's complicated for some... some people, they have parents who encourage them, mm-hmm. push them to do, like, something out of their comfort zone, maybe. Mm-hmm. So it depends on the parents, to be honest. For my family, for example, they were literally encouraging me to and pushed me to do something I wanted. Mm-hmm. Even though it's risky, it's gonna be painful somehow.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You made it though.
Yeah, you made it.
You went out of your comfort zone.
You're really, as I said before, really, like, inspirational person. I feel like a lot of people, like, can really look up to you, especially if they want to come to Canada, or even if they're in Canada, they're like, okay, so, like, she's done it, I can do it. She's an Arab woman. I'm an Arab woman. I can also do it. I can also succeed. I can mm-hmm. also have big dreams. You know, you mm-hmm. wanted to work in CTV, CBC. Yeah,
in terms of successful, I'm not successful yet. What I did and what I planned for, I'm already in the middle of my trip, I
mean. Yeah.
And yeah, what I see, I succeeded in many things, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
But I would be, hopefully I would be more successful than what I am right now. I see what I was and what I did mm-hmm. before, and I look at it and I see my accomplishments, how even though that I still find a lot of difficulties in many things, but alhamdulillah, I'm doing good.
Alhamdulillah, I'm so happy that you're doing good and you're gonna keep doing good, inshallah. We talked about it, me and you, yesterday when we were on the phone, but what were, like, any cultural, were they any cultural shocks or unexpected experiences that you, when
of
you
course.
Came here?
Let's go into the juicy parts now. Yeah. Okay.
Let's start the cultural shocks.
The gritty things, yeah.
Actually, there are a lot. Religion, people's style, I don't know. There are many, many, many things.
Yeah, because I get when you come here, you see people from all different types of backgrounds. So I guess in Algeria, it's a bit more, maybe a bit more closed off. Like, there's just, like...
Not all. Actually, in Algeria, you would see a variety of
people. Mindsets. Yeah. And there's a lot of culture in Algeria, mm-hmm. too, of exactly. course. Yeah.
You'd see Amazighian people, mm-hmm. like native people in Canada, for example, mm-hmm. the indigenous people. In Algeria, we have Amazighian people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mostly, you would find them in North Africa, but the largest community, I guess, it's in Algeria. Mm-hmm. And you would see them, they're more like people who like the nature, who likes to be, you would see that they're really into learning new things. Mm-hmm. They like knowledge, of course, but they really... how do I say that? Mm-hmm. It's like they're really interested in keeping the nature around them. You know
mm-hmm,
what I mean?
Mm-hmm. They really, like, want to care about their country.
Exactly.
And yes, yeah, yeah.
Algerian people are really, like, different. I'm from the east. I'm from Annaba, which is an eastern city in Algeria. Mm-hmm. It's near Tunisia, far from it, like 1 hour. And we kind of share the same, or like a close culture.
Yes.
And you see the music, the art, mm-hmm. our traditional clothes, the food, everything is like it's almost you can say, like, it's a mix of Algerian Tunisian culture.
Did you, when we say cultural shocks, did you feel like in terms of, because here in Canada, it's a multicultural city. So like you were able to meet a lot of people from different culture. Mm-hmm. Was it like you not connecting to the Algerian community, or was it just because like it's so different than what you maybe in your head have put, or maybe you had expectations and this didn't happen?
At the beginning, I was trying to be close to the Montreal community. And trying to learn from other different people than my country or people of my country.
Mm-hmm.
I met a lot of international students here. Mm-hmm. I went to a lot of events and tried to connect other people. And in Algeria, well, Algerian people here, they're mostly in French universities. Yes. So I couldn't mm-hmm. Maybe approach them mm-hmm. or learn where they are maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to be more close to Concordia community and learn how they're doing their university and university studies. I wanted to be more comfortable and maybe approachable to this community instead of being with Algerians.
Yeah, to get to know more of the students at Concordia. Course. And yeah.
Especially, I was afraid that I won't do good, especially in the first year. Mm-hmm. It was really, I told you, the system is really different.
Yes.
We don't have, for example, CGPA.
Mm.
We just go we count from 0 to 20 for our grades. You would see 18 out of 20.
It's the French system.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the French system, mm-hmm. the LMD system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And in here, it's really, it's different. I was trying to understand this thing, especially the CGPA system. I didn't know how it works. Alhamdulillah, I got myself.
Yeah. All right. So do you have any more questions, Judy, or should we move on?
We're going to go on a break for now, and then we'll continue with the questions. So we're gonna put not a song. We're gonna put quatre chiffres.
Quatre chiffres. Perfect.
By Flan.
كملها وحدين حاجة كيساني ما نحتاج طبيب حيني ميزاني يا هي ديزاني احنا كيف احنا ديزامي قتلي حسيت بكبيت حبيت نساميك هجب الحال جاحلو لساني يا هي وانا تم خمم كيفاش كيتي ما فيل كيتي ما تار قاعد مشي افار حسيت بزاري كي ما بار صغير وانا كنت نغيس حشيها لي بليس جراني البابر شير لي علي كابر برح كاليني الخوف دوكا جي بابر يا زينة روحي خليني اللون هاني خلوي نسمى بابي اللون مولا يهمني في من اللون طايحة في اللوف يتخاف من اللوف يا البابور لارجي قبل ما تقلع دينا ما تفرجني مارجي خلي الحومة فينا ما نشينا كاتشي وجامي عطيتك لابروماس وعندي لارجي حكي قلت شباك ومان نحبش تجيني بلاطاي نحب تقولي كلمة غير كتخمي باللي كاباب نساني مشي قاطع جايب هادي فانس ما حافظ قالي قاطع دوك وباش نديها ما بارت غسلك طويلة وانا ماشي يهمي في ساكا دوك اليوم نقولو صافاكا وش جاز علينا وما حفينا ني فلاباي دوك صوتك ما بيز وسط الغد راسي اللي كتابين في يدي سلاحي جيب مصوم في يدي وردة جيب مصائل نحوس الكارم نحوس لابي زيد شوية نحوس ما بي ريلاسيون فيك شغل طلع بلواي طلق لي يديا نغمض مائن يا زينة روحي خليني اللون هاني خلوي نسمع باب اللون مولا يهمني في من اللون طايحة في اللوف يتخافي من اللوف يا بابور لارجي قبل ما تقلع دينا ما تخرجني مارجي خلي الحومة فينا ما نشينا كاتشي وجامي عطيتك لابروماس وعندي لارجي حكي قلت شباكو مان
Thank you. Concordia Relay for Life is going all out for our final event of the year, Petals of Courage. On April 4th, come out to the chapel on Loyola campus for a flower-themed day of friendly competition, community building, and exciting giveaways. From 6 p.m. to 11 p.m., teams will face off in a series of challenges and fun activities, and all proceeds go to the Canadian Cancer Society. You'll also get a free t-shirt, food, and drinks for just $15. Follow at Concordia Relay for more details.
Tune in to Fukubukuro on Saturdays at 8 p.m. for your weekly grab bag of music from Japan, East Asia, and everywhere else. Only on CJLO 1690 AM.
One, hello, welcome back. You're listening to Voice of the Voiceless on CJLO 1690 AM, and we're still on the interview with Russia. And I guess May, you have further questions to ask our beautiful guest.
Hi everyone. I just want to mention that I love Flynn so much, and I would recommend listening to S12 by him and Thief, if you are familiar with Thief. He's also an Algerian artist. I want to ask Rasha, actually, oh my god, okay, sorry about that, guys. I want to ask Rasha, since, like, ever since all the Algerians that I've met, they always talk to me about Rai music, right? And I want to know, like, what makes Rai so special in Algeria, like in Algeria and outside of Algeria, that everyone speaks about it?
Rai is literally like a different type of a music. Mm-hmm. It's something that you heard and you never heard at the same time. It's a mix of a pop music with Rai. It's Rai. It's something special. I don't know. It's the voice of, as you said, like your show is called The Voice of the Voiceless.
Yes.
This is how the Rai music started.
Yeah. If you want, Rasha, sorry to interrupt you, I can maybe talk a little bit about the history of Rai before asking your opinion on it. Sure. Because some people may not know what Rai is. Rai, R-A-I. It's from what I did some research on it, and it's a type of music, a type of genre that emerged in the 20s in a city called Wahran. So Wahran is a city near the coast of Algeria, and Rai is now considered a UNESCO cultural heritage. So it's very very keen to Algerian culture, and it's part of like Algeria and I believe also North Africa, maybe. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's some type of that type of music is present also in Morocco and Tunisia.
Exactly, but yeah. Actually Rai is completely Algerian.
It's very Algerian.
Started in Algeria. Mm-hmm. It's completely Algerian.
But it's kind of spread, I think, maybe
exactly.
Later
spreading.
On.
Spread,
yeah,
that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The natural, like the Rai.
The origin.
Like the root
yeah,
is Algerian.
Definitely.
Is Algerian.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you would see that mostly it's famous in Oran. It started in Oran,
yeah.
And still it's really famous in Oran.
Mm-hmm.
It started by Cheb Khaled.
Cheb Khaled, yeah. But
really
I believe
common.
From the research that I've done, I think it started before Cheb Khaled even. Because Cheb Khaled, what he did, he really spread Rai to Europe,
exactly.
To other Arab countries, because he found a way to modernize
exactly.
the origins of
Rai.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
The music, and
yeah.
He included a lot of instruments.
Yes.
In
it. Yeah.
And,
yeah. Yeah.
You would hear the difference between the old Rai and then the modern Rai.
Yeah. So I think Cheb Khaled is like, he really modernized
exactly.
Rai, which is now why everyone knows
exactly.
Knows of it.
That's why he's called the king of Rai.
Yes.
Before it wasn't common. Nobody listened to it.
Yeah.
Until
yeah.
Cheb Khaled came and it boomed.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
whole thing.
He did a great job. Yeah. Yeah.
He did.
So from what I read, I noticed, and I also found out that the Rai comes from the word in Arabic, Ra'i, like opinion.
Yes.
Opinion, yeah.
And I figured out that in the beginning, at least mostly in the beginning, the people who wanted to express their voice, express their concerns about like Algerian politics and Algerian society, they would talk about how they feel about these topics through music. So they would talk about a special topic and they would add melodies on it. And these melodies really are what we see right today, like especially the older version. So it was very common to see this type of music in like weddings, at parties, at social events, because people had an opportunity to say what they believe in and what they think about through music. It was like, as I said, a form of expression and resistance, especially during Algerian liberation against French occupiers. So I think, and also from what I read, it became really famous and really like it grew in popularity during the Algerian Revolution. And that's when the general Algerian public really knew more about Rai music, because a lot of artists, to express their concerns about the revolution, they used music. Mm-hmm. And they really like really shared and like spread information about their goals to see Algerian independence through music, and it was slowly becoming what it is today. So it was a form of expression, addressing social and political issues, and really like fighting and really creating their own identity after being colonized by for so long by French French people. Yeah.
Actually, it's more than maybe that, like mm-hmm. the French colonization. It's about our voice. As Algerians, we're always free. We say that as Algerians, we always have our opinion. Nobody can shut us down, shut us down, or nobody can like push our ideas or interrupt our ideas. So we always say that we have our own perspective and we can express our opinion freely.
And through music, which is beautiful.
Exactly.
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
defending our opinion with music mm-hmm. instead of fighting or getting into arguments. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's what I believe. Yeah,
and you really like proved Algeria really proved that music can be a form of resistance too.
Of course.
So
and Rai, as you said, it's not just like a type of a music, but it has the Rai itself. It has a lot of types of music. There's mm-hmm. the calm one. Mm-hmm. It's like the kind of the pop Rai, you know, mm-hmm. and it goes actually into a lot of types, you know.
I May, do you have anything to say?
I do have a question about the pop Rai, because I've noticed that the music is very upbeat, which is very, very lovely, but the lyrics are sad. I wonder why, like, what is mm-hmm. the message behind that? Like, even though, like, despite us being, I don't know, like, in our, like, negative feelings, we're still happy, we're still fighting, we're still resisting? Or, like, what's the message? Or is it just, like, something that Algerians know that we don't know?
Yes, there are sad lyrics, but I won't generalize. If you hear the music of Khaled, lyrics that are positive and they tell you about living your life freely, and they express and gives you like positive energy as like C'est la vie.
C'est la vie is pretty,
it's kind of mix of it Rai
it's
and
the top
pop.
Tier popular. Yeah,
but I was because I there was a period of time where I was listening to Sheb Aqil, and I noticed that with his music and Sheb Hussam as well, I think they're like a bit new, and Sheb Mami as well. Sheb Hussam, like, he's new, mm-hmm. but there's Sheb Mami as well. Sheb Mami as well.
You're good.
Sheb Mami is more modern.
She knows the Algerian, right? Come on.
I know. I do my
I'm Algerian. I don't know. So for Sheb Hasni, for example, and Sheb Aqil, RIP for him, they have like sad lyrics, and they emphasize on topics of love. The lyrics, it always talks about love or
their
sad life. They have sad stories, so they try to express them through Rai. However, some other, like Shab Khalid, for example, is always a positive person. You always see him laughing.
He's always smiling. He's smiling. The cutest smile.
Yeah. So I believe that there are many people who express Rai differently.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and as I mentioned before, Rai is like a door to open expression. Like anyone who feels a certain emotion, or they feel sad, or they feel maybe scared about the future, or about the future of their country, they express their concern through music. So I think that's what maybe you were looking for, like why maybe do some artists like mention like a sad feeling
in upbeat way, because yes, like I would be dancing, but if I'm listening to lyrics in my head, I'm like, why am I dancing?
Yeah.
It's so pretty, like you can't help but dance. But yeah. I also have a question about like, why do like they call themselves Shab or Shabba? Like what is the reason behind that?
Actually, from Shab Khalid, who was when he started Rai, he was very young, and then they called him a Shab. He's the Shab because actually, in Algeria, it wasn't common to be a singer, and who becomes a singer, it's kind of someone who's doing a sin, you know.
Oh, makes sense.
Or
yeah.
Is he's immature, or like it's kind of a bad thing. It was in Algeria, but right now it's actually the story came from him when he started. He told people to call him Shab, which is young. The young man. And then everyone in the Rai industry, when Shab Khalid became popular, and became popular as well with the Rai, the style of his music, which is Rai, most of these people who went to the music industry and entered the Rai field, they all became Shab or Shabba. Shabba is like the young woman, or
young
and Shab
girl,
is or exactly the young girl, or Shab, which means the young boy or
but
the
I,
young
yeah
man.
Young boy.
I also want to add on that when I was reading about the history of Rai, the origin like the beginning of Rai, they used to call
Sheikh.
Yes.
Or Sheikha, yeah.
Yeah, they used to call them Sheikh, because the first
and it still exists
yeah,
for the old people, and this one is for the old Rai.
Yeah, because
we talked about it before. Shab Khalid,
exactly. A young person, they don't want to be called Sheikh or Sheikha, like hello. I'm a Shab, you know. I'm a young guy.
Rimiti is if you listen to the music of Elina,
okay,
which is a Palestinian Ariana.
Yes.
She included one of the
she does include
music, yeah, of Rimiti.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And this music is really, it was one of the most popular musics that Rimiti did.
And Rimiti, is she one of the first Rai artists to kind of emerge?
Kind of Rai is not really Rai, but yeah, it was kind of Rai.
Okay. Great. May, do you have any
I was looking up, because I remember there was a period on like my TikTok where I would watch videos about Sheba Janet, so I wanted to ask you about her, if you're familiar with her or not. She's like very very old, but she's an icon. Like she would perform at weddings, and she was period where, like, I don't know, she was controversial because I don't know for what reasons, but I know like her music was so good. So I wanted to ask if you were familiar with her or not.
Maybe I'm not really familiar, but I know, like I know her image and how she popular, but I'm not familiar with her music, so I cannot really answer all of the questions.
To ask
in here.
So I guess we're done for today for the interview. If do you have any other final remarks or anything like that? So I'd like to thank you, Rasha, for coming to this interview today. Hopefully it wasn't too stressful. I know this is your first time.
Yes, that's yeah. my first podcast, guys. And I'm really chill right now. After we're done, I'm chill. I want to talk more, but yeah.
Yeah, well, do you have anything to say? Anything? Any final?
I just want to express mm-hmm. my happiness and mm-hmm. My joy that I came to this podcast, and I'm doing it with you guys today. Mm-hmm. And I shared my opinion and my story. So thank you for inviting me and hosting me. You're really. What did you say?
Yes, and also I have one final question. Yeah. I think Judy also has a question, so we're just gonna keep on continuing because we have so much to say. But let's like end this interview with maybe my question and then Judy's question. For me, do you have any advice to give to Algerian/Arab women that travel from their homeland to here? Any tips you want to say, anything that you learned that you want to share with others?
Actually, thank you for this question. Maybe I won't be really a kind of a person who would give a lot of a kind of pieces of advice, but I would say be courageous, try your best, and you're gonna do it for sure. Just believe on yourself. I've been through a lot, and I've learned from my mistakes. I did a lot of mistakes in life and in my studies and my workplace. But after that, I learned from it. And before, when I was trying to come here, I did my best, even though like with all the mistakes, and I was literally disappointed from. Like with everything that I was going through, but I made it. With all the difficulties, I made it. And you should do it as well.
Yeah.
Believe on yourself.
Believe in yourself. You can do it.
You can do it, yes.
If Rasha can do it, everyone can do it.
I was seeing all the like the posts on Instagram. Yeah, believe in yourself, you can do it. And, these are like kind of jokes, but
no.
Alhamdulillah, yes, I know what it is. And you would know the meaning when you do it.
That's so nice. That's such a nice way to present this and just say it out loud. Saying it out loud, I think it affirms and like it confirms everything that you've been through, you know?
Of course,
so it's really,
yeah.
really, really nice. My question was like, if you want to bring one tradition or one thing from Algeria to here, what would it be? Like, it doesn't have to be music. It has to be some, I think, because we talked about music a lot.
Something mm-hmm. in our culture?
Yeah, in traditions, whatever you want. If you ever want to bring something, what would it be to Canada?
It would be Algerian knowledge, literature. Mm-hmm. We have a really good literature. Mm-hmm. Literatures. like writers, like Yasmina Khadra, which is really like one of the, he's really one of my biggest inspiration, especially yeah. in journalism. He's someone who wrote a lot of books in the Algerian Revolution,
yes.
and he was kind of protecting his voice and the voice of people.
The voice of the voiceless.
Yeah, no, exactly. I was gonna say it.
I was gonna say that.
So I'm happy that we have this kind of people who worked hard for our country, and I really appreciate them. Not only this, but we have a lot of other things. If I start like telling you, we won't stop. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, for example, artisanal, like the artisan. In Algeria is really one of the popular things. We do the ceramic. Mm-hmm. We draw. We have a lot of drawings. Even Picasso came to Algeria, and I was surprised by this fact. But yeah, he learned. He learned in Algeria, in one of the schools in Algeria, and I was really surprised when I read this in an article. And we are one of the most skilled and what I would say.
Yeah, the most work hard.
Work harder people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
We went through a lot of colonizations, a lot of troubles, a lot of issues, but we're good. We're at the top.
Yeah. I just wanna share something. I'm half Algerian and half Palestinian, right?
Yes, and I am proud. Imagine I'm having someone who represents Algeria in individuals. Thank you, girl. I love you.
I love you too.
I love you all. But she's love special. You so much. She's Algerian.
So I'm happy that you also came as an Algerian person to individuals. But also like the Algerian the struggles that the Algerians they went through during the revolution, it really reflects on what the Palestinians are struggling now. So the form of resistance, the courage and the strengths
exactly.
that like both countries had, and Palestinians are now like, you know, suffering through that. In Algeria, they suffered through it like more than 100 years, you know.
We learned from each other.
Yeah.
Palestinians were saying, we learned from you and your colonization mm-hmm. and what you've been through. All the things that you see on Instagram mm-hmm. and you see on posts and like people who are suffering, mm-hmm. getting killed and everything. They were saying that we learned from you, and right now we're learning from them, and how are they courageous.
Yeah.
And I really would appreciate all of what they're going through, and they're still strong enough to stay on, like to stand again. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate what they're doing. Still, they're positive with all the things they're going through. Nobody can stay and live still, but They're really strong people.
And also Palestinians, they really take influence from the Algerian revolution.
Exactly.
Like they read the history of Algeria, and a lot of Palestinians know about it.
I want to mention that in every Algerian family there is a martyr, mm-hmm. even if it's like one of, like, it might be a cousin, it might be an uncle, but for me it was my uncle.
Yeah.
And my grandpa was one of the resistant mm-hmm, mm-hmm. who were helping in the Algerian colonization.
And
there is always people who are we learning from them, you know what I mean?
We pay contribute to all the martyrs in Algeria, all the shuhada. They taught us a lot, and they also like taught us a lot also mm-hmm. For the our Palestinian struggle, and hopefully mm-hmm. You know, things will get better, and we are learning a lot from you guys, so
inshallah, definitely.
So thank you all for listening to The Voice of the Voiceless on CJLO 1690 AM. I was with Judy and May. And join us next time, next Thursday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. On the same radio, same time, same day. Thank you all for listening. And now we're going to end the radio with a Rai song. Yeah.